But saying that, you do need to have fish and chips by the sea. You do need to go for afternoon tea because it's just so British and it's really fun. And definitely have a Sunday roast at a Bristol pub.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Egal ob im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Diese Folge ist eine ganz besondere, denn wir hatten hier im Podcast zum allerersten Mal Besuch aus Großbritannien.
Genau, zu Gast war dieses Mal Ellie Dunmall von der University of Bristol im Südwesten Englands.
Ich persönlich fand es super spannend, weil ich im Büroalltag eher wenig Berührungspunkte mit Großbritannien und den britischen Unis habe, weil ich mich ja um die amerikanischen Unis hauptsächlich kümmere.
Ich fand's auch super, denn Ellie ist einfach auch eine richtig tolle Gästin, die viel zu erzählen hat und die vor allem jeden Spaß mitgemacht hat.
Stimmt, genau. Es wird definitiv auch eine Menge gelacht.
Also, dranbleiben lohnt sich. Ihr erfahrt heute nämlich nicht nur eine ganze Menge über die Uni und die Semesterstipendien, die Bristol aktuell im Angebot hat, sondern auch darüber, welche Vorurteile über England tatsächlich zutreffen und wer von uns sich als großer Coldplay-Fan entpuppt hat.
Hey Ellie, welcome to our podcast.
Hi.
We're happy to have you. Before we talk about the university, let's talk a little bit about Bristol first. Bristol is the 8th largest city in the UK and a very popular place to study for British students, but it's not as well known in Germany yet. So yeah, let's try to change that today. In your opinion, why should students consider Bristol as their study abroad destination?
So I think Bristol is just a really great city to be a student in. I think you're absolutely right that many students outside of the UK aren't as familiar with Bristol. But actually in the UK, like you said, it's a very popular destination. I think there's lots going for the city itself. So we are actually really well known as being a really liberal city, which I think aligns with quite a lot of students' ideas and ideals. And we also are really well known for being a very sustainable and green city as well. So Bristol was actually the first European city to be voted a green capital back in 2015.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the university itself was actually the first university in the UK to declare a climate change emergency back in 2019. So we've got a really strong reputation for being very sustainable and very green. But I think on top of that, we're also a very vibrant city. There's a huge amount going on in Bristol, and I think it really works for a student that is looking for a lot of things to do on their mobility abroad, but maybe is not quite suited to somewhere as large as somewhere like London, where it can feel quite overwhelming. I think Bristol is just a really nice medium-sized city. And we're also very well known for our food scene. So there is amazing food in Bristol, always a new pub or restaurant to go to and explore. And we're also very well known for our music scene as well. So Bristol is one of kind of the music capitals of the UK. So there's always a gig or a club to go to or a DJ playing that you may be interested in. I think there's just something for everyone in the city itself. So I'd say the city is just a really great place to be as a student. And I think it works for a lot of students who are studying for a short period of time because they can really, you know, feel at home in the city and feel like they're part of a community. Whilst they're with us.
I think you had Elias and me at Food Scene. That definitely checks one of the boxes, at least that I would be looking for. But it's also quite an artsy city, right? I think Banksy is from Bristol.
Yes.
Not that
yeah.
anybody knows who he is and what he looks like, but yeah.
Yeah, he is, definitely. So there's mumblings of who Banksy is, but I can't confirm because obviously I've never met him.
He's your next door neighbor. Who knows?
Oh, imagine. Well, I did notice some graffiti next door. So But yeah, definitely. Bristol's really well known for its art scene. So yeah, there's lots of street art in the city, and actually you can go on street art tours around the city and see all the Banksy's, but also see all the other artists that come to the city and actually, yeah, graffiti on our buildings. And we actually have a really cool festival that's called Upfest, and it's the largest graffiti street art festival in Europe, and that happens every summer. And actually they take over an area of the city called North Street, and lots of different artists come, and they all just kind of do their work on the walls. There's usually kind of an area where there's lots of different graffiti artists, and it's a super cool festival and a really nice place to go to. So I definitely recommend, if you're there in the summer, definitely check out Upfest.
That's really cool. And maybe who knows? I mean, maybe Banksy just kind of mixes in with the crowd and tries out different styles so that he's unrecognizable.
Yeah, that could be true. And imagine if there's some people behind him saying, oh, that one's not very good. And he's like,
like, there's another guy trying to thank me. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah. No, but that all sounds really great. And I think Bristol really has a lot to offer for students coming for a semester to study at the University of Bristol. Before we talk more about the university itself, Elias and I thought it would be a fun idea to address a few British stereotypes, because you're actually the first guest from the UK in our podcast. So
No pressure.
You're the one getting confronted with all these stereotypes. Are you up for that?
Absolutely.
It sounds good. So stereotype number one, the weather is mostly terrible and it rains a lot all year round.
Yeah, so this one I would say is pretty accurate. So in the southwest of England, definitely we do get our fair share of rain, not as much as kind of northern cities or Scotland, but definitely it does rain sometimes. So I always recommend to students to actually make sure that they're prepared for all weather, because it is quite changeable in Bristol. And, you know, one day you can wake up and you're looking out of your window and it's bright sunshine and you take your sunglasses and you think, oh, I'm going to go to the beach and have a sunbathe. And then 2 hours later, it's raining. So I think just make sure that you've got an umbrella in your bag, your sunglasses, and you're fully prepared for all eventualities. But yeah, that one is quite accurate.
So, I mean, it is an island after all, and that's what they say about island weather, is that it's just changing a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, actually, I think it's really nice to have that change. You know, we've got great seasons. You've got autumn, winter, spring, summer. And I think that actually there's some beauty in all types of weather. So even when it is raining, you know, it's a perfect excuse to stay indoors and snuggle up with a hot chocolate and a movie.
Sounds good. Stereotype number two. Everybody eats baked beans for breakfast and fish and chips for lunch.
So this one, I think, is inaccurate. I think we definitely love fish and chips, for sure. And I would say fish and chips is one of those things that you'll get if you're by the sea. But I wouldn't say that the food in the UK is particularly just British. I think British food has a bit of a bad stereotype about it. Actually, I think some of my favourite foods are British. So going to the pub and having a Sunday lunch is just so kind of British and just so comforting. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of different influences within British food. So we, especially in Bristol, I think you can pretty much find any cuisine in the city. So if you don't fancy, you know, afternoon tea or fish and chips, you don't have to eat that. You know, there's lots of Malaysian food. There's a huge amount of Indian food in the UK. We've really well known for a lot of French food in Bristol as well. There's a huge amount of kind of sushi, poke places. You can pretty much find anything. So I don't think you're really kind of, you know, limited to just having British food. But saying that, you do need to have fish and chips by the sea. You do need to go for afternoon tea, because it's just so British and it's really fun. And definitely have a Sunday roast at a Bristol pub. I've got some recommendations for Bristol pubs, so if you want to know them, let me know if you come and study with us.
All right. And I must admit, I love afternoon tea and I love scones and clotted cream and all these things that go with them. So, yeah, Sounds good. And then the next stereotype, the entire country is obsessed with the royal family and everybody is either Team Meghan or Team Kate.
Oh, yeah, that's a very apt question, isn't it? I think that that is a misconception, I would say. And I think maybe it's a generational thing. I think certainly maybe the older generations are a little bit more interested in the royal family, just because I think it was such a big part of their lives growing up. But actually, for a lot of younger people, we're not too bothered with what the British family, the royal family, are doing. You know, I think the newspapers are quite obsessed with it, but I think on the day to day, if someone was to kind of strike up a conversation about the royal family, you would maybe talk for a minute and then say, can we move on to something more interesting? But, you know, that's my opinion. There may be some diehard royalists that are listening to this saying, no, the royal family, they're amazing. But yeah, I don't think we're as obsessed with the royal family as other countries seem to be.
For example, Germany.
Yeah,
and that's really surprising,
family, right? Where exactly. You always want what you don't have, right?
Yeah,
I'm surprised by that, to be honest. I know that a lot of Americans are so into the royal family, and they're more clued up than I am on the royal family and, you know, the royal babies and what kids there are. I don't think I can remember all of their names, which, you know, hopefully I don't get my passport taken off me because I've just said that. But yeah.
Depends on who listens to this.
I know. We can cut that bit out.
All right. I think the final stereotype is about an even more controversial topic, though. And that is, the three lions don't seem to be able to win a large tournament, or any tournament for that matter.
Oh, that one's still painful.
We're sorry, but do you remember what happened to Germany in the Euros this year?
That's true. I think we were very excited to have beaten Germany. But again, I think we were a lot more into the rivalry between England and Germany than anyone who's in Germany was. I think you guys are like, we're good. We're not too bothered about this English side, whereas we definitely take it quite seriously. I think because we've got such a history of losing.
Then let's move on to the University of Bristol. And yeah, it has been around for a while, as I understand. It was founded in 1876. And yeah, it obviously has a rich tradition, but it's also a very prestigious university. It consistently ranks in the top 10, 15 in the UK and top 75 worldwide. What subject areas is the university particularly known for?
So that's a really good question. I would say Bristol is actually quite a comprehensive university. So we're very well known for lots of different subject areas. So it's a little hard to kind of really dial into kind of exactly what the university is known for, because it is pretty good at kind of most areas. But I think particularly, so we've got 35 subjects that are in the top 100 in the world, according to the QS World Rankings. So some of those are things like Earth Sciences is very, very well ranked at Bristol. I think we're currently 15th in the world for Earth Sciences. Social Policy is also very, very highly ranked as well. So I think we're about 19th. And then also Geography, Education, we're relatively highly ranked for those as well. I think in the UK league tables, Engineering performs very, very well. So Bristol is really, really good at engineering. I think at the moment we're first for engineering generally in the Guardian Guide, and first for mechanical, second for civil. So yeah, very highly ranked for those subjects. But I think, yeah, across the board, we tend to do pretty well in most areas.
Mm-hmm. No. Great. Let's take a closer look at your study abroad program for students who want to come to Bristol for a semester or for a year. Who is that program for and how does it work?
Yeah, sure. So that program really is for students from all over the world. Pre-pandemic, we were welcoming around 180 students to Bristol per semester. And those students really did come from a wide range of countries. So, you know, Australia, New Zealand, Latin America. We had a lot of students from the US, Canada, some from Singapore, Hong Kong. So it's a very diverse program. It's really for anyone that is looking to undertake a period of mobility as part of their degree back at their home university. I think it's a great way of internationalizing your degree back at home, really experiencing a different education system, because the UK education system can be quite different than what students are used to. I think particularly at Bristol, because we're a research-led university, it means that students are able to engage in research in maybe a way that they haven't done back at their home university. They're being taught by academics who are really at the forefront of their field and are actively researching in their subject area. So I think it gives them a real breadth of knowledge. And it's just for students who, yeah, like I say, want to maybe have a semester out of their home university, go and experience a different culture, live in a different city, go to a different university, and really kind of just immerse themselves in the British and Bristol culture.
Okay. You were mentioning differences between the British study system and maybe the German or other systems. And I think one major difference that a lot of students are really surprised about when they come to the UK is that you take a lot fewer subjects or modules per semester. So in Germany, it's pretty common to take between, let's say, 5 or 7 different subjects or modules, whereas in the UK, a lot of our students only take 3 modules, for example, and still end up with the equivalent of 30 ECTS. Is that correct? Is that the same in Bristol?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Alex. So it does depend at Bristol what subjects you're going into. So typically, I'd say within our arts and social sciences, students will tend to take 320 credit units or modules throughout a semester. If you're studying in somewhere like engineering or science, we have a few more 10 credit options. So it may be a little bit more usual to take maybe 4 or 5 units per semester. But yes, certainly, I think generally it's a lot less modules that students take per semester. And I guess that's because it gives students the opportunity to really kind of immerse themselves in that particular module. And we want to give students the time to actually, you know, do a lot of independent reading outside of their lectures or classes, and actually just really understand the subject matter that they're studying. And I think it allows them to do that, because you're not, you know, taking 5 or 6 different classes, and you can really kind of compartmentalize your time and really get deep into the subjects that you're studying.
I quite like that. Sometimes our students are a little concerned in the beginning because they think they might not be able to kind of take enough courses to transfer back, because they would be taking more courses at home. But what we have found is, because there is such a strong tradition of exchange between the UK and Germany, that German universities typically know about this difference, and they know how to kind of transfer the credits and make it work. So that ends up not really being a problem for most of our students. And I think on a, like, from a student standpoint, really being able to dive into a subject, and also just maybe having 3 different exams or exams for 3 different subjects at the end of the semester is definitely kind of makes it a little easier for them to focus and organize their time.
Yeah, I think definitely. And like you said about the, you know, credit transfer, I think that's not something that we ever really have an issue with our students. I think I can definitely understand that that may be something that students would be concerned about prior to coming to the UK. But actually, you know, like you say, a lot of our partners all over the world, and especially universities in Germany, they know the UK system. So they completely understand that that's just the way it works. And actually, I think that they appreciate that students get to really, you know, like you say, have that in-depth study of that particular module. And they understand that when they're transferring the credits back. So I think, like you say, it's not something that students should be worried about.
Right. Now, Elias mentioned how prestigious and well-ranked the University of Bristol is. Does that reflect in the admission requirements for the program? Like, what are the what English proficiency level are you looking for? Do you have a grade point average that you're looking for as well, for example?
Yeah, so we have both of those things. So with our kind of academic requirement, we ask that students achieve a 3.0 on the US scale. So that's a 3.0 GPA out of 4. But we also have that converted to the German marking system. So we ask for students to achieve at least a 2.5 overall. And then with English language, we do ask students to submit some proof of English language to us. And they can do that in multiple different ways. So our IELTS requirement is 6.5 overall with a minimum of 6.0 in all bands. But we also accept things like the DARD certificate, and we ask students to get a B2 overall in the DARD and a B2 in all skills. And then we also accept things like the Abitur as well. So if students have that and want to use that to evidence their English language, then they can do. I believe at higher level, if they've taken English, we ask for an 11. And then I think at kind of standard level, we asked for a 14. So yeah, students can kind of prove their English language a lot of different ways, which makes it a little bit easier and means that, you know, hopefully they don't have to pay to take an IELTS test if they have those other certificates.
Yeah, that's what Stephanie and Steffi, our two designated UK advisors, always recommend the students to do, is to look at the free options, basically, either the Abitur certificate or the DART, which is free at many German universities. And then only if those don't work out, to look at either the TOEFL or the IELTS. In most cases, the DART certificate is not a problem. So,
yeah, I think that's a really good thing to do, and definitely good advice from them. Save some students a bit of money, which is always good.
Absolutely.
And then, I should probably mention that if students don't meet our English language requirements, then they can choose to study with us on a study abroad with English language program. So that combines a pre-sessional program with the study abroad program. I would say for the majority of German students, they're not going to, you know, be interested in that program because they will have a very high level of English, which they tend to do. But that is an option just in case maybe students don't quite meet the requirements.
Okay, good advice. Thank you.
Yeah.
What subject options do study abroad students have, and how does the course registration process work at the University of Bristol? Is there an advisor that they can talk to, or how does it work?
Yeah, sure. So students, I'll start off with kind of the first part of the question. So subject options is very vast at Bristol. So incoming study abroad students can choose from subjects from across our six faculties. The only things that students can't study would be our clinical programs. So that's things like veterinary science, medicine and dentistry. But other than that, they can choose from kind of the rest of the departments and faculties that we have at Bristol. There's a couple of things just to note that I think are helpful, is that if students want to take law or chemistry, they need to study with us for a full academic year, because those classes run across the full year and they're not semesterized. And then there are a couple of other restrictions. So if students want to study computer science, they need to be kind of at the end of their degree, because we just have higher level computer science units available. And there are a couple of other things, but we can definitely let students know that if they come to us with questions. In terms of the course registration process, it's relatively simple. So students, when they apply to Bristol, will include in that application the units that they want to take whilst they're with us. And we have lots of really helpful guidance on our website. So there's a whole section with FAQs on kind of how to choose your units, what the different subject levels mean, because study abroad students can take units or modules from the first, second and third year of our programs, and they can mix and match those as well. So they could say take one third year unit, one second year unit and one first year unit if they wanted to.
But it is limited to undergrad, right? It's limited to undergraduate students.
Yes. Yeah. So it is just for undergraduate students. We have a couple of postgraduate units available in engineering, but they form part of our four-year integrated master's degree, which is technically classified as an undergraduate program. Okay. But yeah, students There's lots of information online that they can access to help them kind of create their program. And we've tried to make it as simple as possible for them. But on their application form, once they've gone through all those steps, they'll list the units that they're interested in. We usually ask students to list for a semester around 6 or 7 units, just so they've got some backup options in case their first choices aren't available. And then throughout the summer, or throughout kind of the November, December, early January period, we look at pre-registering students onto their units. So we'll look at the spaces that we've been given for each unit, and we'll look at kind of who's requested it, and then we'll try and make sure that students are placed in kind of their top units. There will be an opportunity for students as well, once they arrive in Bristol, to make changes to their units during the first 2 weeks of term. So if maybe they have a clash in their timetable that they can't figure out because actually there's maybe 2 labs running at the same time and they can't switch to another one, then we will be there to talk them through kind of other options and how to re-register for a unit that may work for them. So yeah, I'd say if students have questions, we're definitely on hand to help. So feel free to email us, and we can kind of talk them through how it works, how to find units as well, if they've got particular subjects that they're interested in and they maybe can't find something that's specific, or we can kind of suggest things that may work for their program back at home. And then once students arrive, we're on hand really to help them. So we're available Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, for them to pop in and see us with any questions that they have about kind of their academic program.
Sounds good.
Sounds great. Yeah, that sounds like, yes, yeah, students are definitely well taken care of.
Yeah, we like to think so.
Perfect. Let's move on to something that has been a lot on our students' minds and on ours as well in the past month. And it has taken quite a while, but now that the UK has left the EU, what has changed for European study abroad students?
I was waiting for the Brexit question to come up.
Yeah, and Elias didn't even mention the word.
I know. I was really impressed. Sorry, I've said it now. So, yeah, there are quite a few things that have changed since the UK left the EU. So I'd say one of the main things is visas. So prior to our exit, students were able to come to the UK without a visa. Now, if students are coming from the EU, they will need to have a visa. Depending on the length of their study will depend on the visa that they need to apply for. So if students are coming for a semester, which is 6 months or less, then they will just get a standard visitor visa. And I believe students coming from Germany can actually just get that visa at the UK border. So it's really, really simple.
Wow.
Yeah. So it makes it a little bit easier for them. And we'll provide them with a letter that kind of outlines the program that they're mm-hmm. studying on in case they need to show any evidence to the border officer. If students are coming for 6 months or more, they will need to apply for a student visa. So we provide students with all of this information once they've applied to us on how to apply for the visa. But again, it is relatively simple. You can apply online for the visa, and students will just need to evidence a few different things in order to ensure that they're granted that visa. But like I said, we provide lots of information about it. We also have a visa team who are dedicated at the university to help students if they have any visa questions or concerns. So they're a really good resource for students to tap into if they're not sure exactly what they need in terms of their visa. And then I guess the other thing that has changed is that EU students are no longer able to access EU fees at the university. So fees have increased for students coming from the EU, unfortunately. So that is something that has changed. Students coming from the EU are now charged fees in line with our international students, which I believe for this semester is around kind of £8,900 per semester for tuition.
But I know that also to support European students that are interested in spending a semester in Bristol, you have come up with a very generous scholarship for them. Can you tell us a little more about the scholarship, like who can apply for it and what's the amount?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a scholarship available for students coming from Germany. So students can apply for, if they're coming for a semester, it would be a £4,000 scholarship. And that would actually bring their tuition fee in line with the fees that they would have been charged prior to our exit from the EU. So hopefully that will help students out with the cost of studying abroad and make it a lot more manageable for them. If students are coming for a full academic year, we also have an £8,000 scholarship available that they can apply for. I think the application process is relatively simple. So there's lots of information on College Contact's website about how to apply, but students would just need to meet any academic requirements for the programme. So ones that we've just spoken about them. And I've just realised I forgot to mention one other requirement, which is that students have studied at least 1 year at their home university before they can study abroad. And they would just also need to submit an essay as well. So I believe it's an 1,000-word essay that they would need to submit to College Contact. And I think the question at the moment is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And how do you believe studying abroad at the University of Bristol will help you get there? So hopefully it's a relatively easy question to answer. And it's really as simple as that. And that's how you apply for the scholarship.
Yeah, that sounds great. And also with the visa requirements you mentioned in the beginning, it seems like a simple task to do. And then, of course, the great option to apply for the scholarship and pay the same fees as before the Brexit. So, yeah, definitely helps students.
Definitely. I think that, we wanted to try and remove as many barriers to studying abroad as possible. So hopefully the scholarship will really help students with the cost of studying abroad, because, you know, we want to make studying abroad accessible for everyone. And we really hope that students are able to just engage with the programme, because, you know, I think I know from previous students just how great studying abroad is and how much it really changes a student and makes them so much more independent and just really a little bit more well-rounded. And I think it's just being able to offer that to as many students as possible is kind of what we're hoping.
And I honestly think with the scholarship, the money aspect is important, of course, but I also think it's just really nice to be awarded a scholarship, be able to put that on your CV as well, that you received a study abroad scholarship, because that's definitely sort of a kind of a badge of honor. The way I understand it is that you're also trying to engage the student, the scholarship recipients when they're on campus, to have them kind of serve as ambassadors a little bit of their home country, and also to participate in activities to maybe attract other students to consider Bristol. So that's a great way to interact with the university and engage in the student community as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a really good point, that, you know, as a scholarship winner, you will, have that ability to really get involved and to hopefully influence future study abroad students' decision to come to Bristol. Because I think that we definitely see that once a student studied at Bristol, they are our best ambassador, because, you know, a lot of students, like you said at the start, maybe haven't heard of the city, but I think once you've studied here, our students love Bristol, they love the university, they love the culture, and I think that they're the best people to actually go out to other students and just really give their honest experiences of what it was like. And certainly also when they're studying with us, to be able to engage in kind of being a little bit of an ambassador for the programme, I think is a great way of, like you said, integrating into the university community more widely. And then also, integrating with other kind of students as well, and maybe being able to get outside of that study abroad bubble that I think some students may find themselves, you know, they can find themselves in.
And I think I think the students that we've had at Bristol in the past have really enjoyed their experience. I always, when preparing for our podcast recordings, I always like to look at the student testimonials that we have received just to maybe get some inspiration for topics or questions. And one of our most recent Bristol students mentioned how easy she felt it was to make friends and to get involved on campus. And she especially enjoyed Freshers Week at the beginning of her semester. Can you explain what that is and who organizes it?
Yeah, of course. So that's really great to hear that she had such a good time at Bristol and found it really easy to integrate. So Freshers Week is, I think it's now called Welcome Week, so it's slightly changed, but it's a week at the start of term that where students really can just engage in lots of different activities. So it's partly run by the Students' Union, which at Bristol is it's a union that's run by students for students, and they house and run all of our societies and sports clubs. So yeah, during Welcome Week, the Students' Union run lots of different events for students to settle into the university. So just to give you an idea of the kind of things that happen, so we have kind of parties. So I think this year we've got a party on a boat, which is down at the harbourside called Thekla. Lots of kind of, there's a comedy garden, there's a welcome fair where all the societies are, where students can go around and speak to the different societies about maybe joining them. So we have things like the Hot Air Ballooning Society. We've got, I think, a cheese and wine society. There's kind of a vast range. I think there's over 300 that students can join. So hopefully there's something that will work for every student. Then they also have things like global food fairs. We've got paddle boarding at the harbourside, tie-dye workshops, street art tours. There's a bingo night. So there's loads and loads of different things that students can engage with to try and meet other British and also other international students and just find, hopefully, a community at Bristol. And then on top of that, we also have our Global Lounge. So I think it's worth mentioning the Global Lounge because they are part of the International Office and they are going to be having a physical space on campus from this September, which is really exciting. Our team will also have a presence at the Global Lounge. So one of our team members will be there every week. So we'll be there 5 days a week, one of us, to speak to students if they've got any questions or they just want to come in and have a chat and a cup of tea. That's absolutely fine as well. And they run lots of intercultural events throughout the year. So they run things like language cafes. And the idea of the Global Lounge is that it brings home and international students together to kind of celebrate lots of cultural events and also to run lots of social events as well. So during the first week of term, which is the welcome week, they're going to be running city tours, campus tours, they'll be having breakfast, they'll be having afternoon tea as well. So Alex, come down. They've got things like speed friending, and I think it's just a really great way of just meeting other students. And we always say to our study abroad students that joining a society or a club is one of the best things that they can do, because I think that, like I mentioned before, it helps them get out of maybe the bubble of study abroad to meet other UK students, to meet other international students. And I think when you're doing an activity that you really enjoy, it just makes making friends so much easier because you're relaxed. You know, you can talk about the activity that you're doing or the interest that you have, and there's that common ground, I think, which can make it easier to start conversations with new people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Tell me when and where, and I'll be there for the afternoon tea.
It's every day. It's every day, Alex. So you've got multiple opportunities. Definitely worth the flight over.
All right. Nice. So bye, Elias. I'm just going to head to the airport.
I mean, this all sounds really great. And I mean, talking about finding a community, our students often also talk about the campus housing and that they really like living on campus. What options can they choose from, and which ones would you particularly recommend?
So there's lots of different accommodation options for students. So I think just to point out, and I probably haven't mentioned this, so this is my fault, but Bristol is a city-based campus. So actually the university itself is based relatively near the city centre of Bristol. It's in an area called Clifton, which is a beautiful part of the city. Lots of Georgian architecture, very leafy, very green. It's really a nice place to be. What that means is that students have kind of three different options for accommodation residences or villages, as we call them. So we've got the East Village, the West Village, and the North Village. And the East and West Village always kind of remind me of New York for some reason, so I get confused with them. But the East Village is down in our city centre. So I think that really works for students who are looking to be kind of right in the centre of the action, maybe are looking for a real city-based experience, hustle and bustle. I think definitely that's a good option for those students. I think the West Village is really close to the university campus. It's in Clifton. There's lots of really beautiful residences in the West Village. So one of them actually, I don't know if you've ever seen Sherlock, the TV programme, but it was where Watson had his wedding, was filmed in the Orangery in Goldney Hall, which is one of our residences.
Yeah. I remember that one of the testimonials specifically mentioned that. We had a student living in, what's the
Goldney Hall.
Goldney Hall, yeah. And she mentioned the Orangery, so yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And they've actually also got a grotto, which is, you know, completely covered with shells. So you go down to this grotto and there's a waterfall that runs through it, and just everywhere is just shells. It's quite incredible.
Okay.
Yeah, at the residence. So it's only open at various times throughout the year. But yeah, it's a lovely place to live, Goldney Hall. But then we also have our North Village as well. So that is a little bit further away from the campus. So it's around a 40-minute walk, but it's a 10-minute bus ride. Mm-hmm. Students get a free bus pass included in their accommodation fee. So it's really easy to get from the North Village down to the campus. And I think that really works for students who are looking for more of a campus community, because it's just University of Bristol residences up at the North Village. It houses around 2,000 students, and I think it feels more like a typical university campus up there. So depending on kind of personal preference, I think there's definitely different options for different students. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth just considering what works for you, whether you want to be in a more campus-based environment, whether you want to be right in the city centre, whether you want to be a little bit close to the university, and then go from there. But I think on the whole, we get great feedback from all of our university residences. So some of the popular ones in the past have been down at the city centre. So the courtrooms tends to be quite popular. I think that's because it's purpose-built. So it's a really new accommodation building. Every student's got their own ensuite, which I think if you're looking to have your own bathroom, then, you know, it works really well. Wills Hall up in the North Village is also really popular. That's one of our older residences. I think it reminds me a bit of Harry Potter, so that's probably nice. Why students love it.
I would love that.
Yeah, I would too, to be honest. I always am there and I'm thinking, oh yeah, this would be great. But that is a catered accommodation. So students are looking to have food kind of included in their accommodation fee, then that's a really good option. But then you've got places like Hyatt Baker in the West Village and Goldney, which are again, very popular. So I think it just depends on what students are looking for. And you can find all the information about our different villages on our website. And I think before they choose their residence, maybe just really dive into that and just kind of look at, do you want an ensuite? Do you want a shared room? Because that's a good way of kind of getting your options for your accommodation.
You mentioned Harry Potter. Do you have a Quidditch society?
We do, yes. Yeah.
So how do you play that?
Yeah, I was like, how do you handle the flying thing? Yeah.
Well, that is an issue.
That's a secret, right?
They haven't quite figured that one out yet. Yeah, yeah, no, they do. They're called the Brizzle Puffs. They actually practice up on the Downs, which is really close to the North Village. It's a big open space in Bristol. And basically, you just run around with a broomstick in between your legs catching balls. So it's totally normal, looks really really realistic. Totally normal.
When in Bristol, do as the British, right? Yeah.
I mean, you've got to. Even if you can't fly, they're finding a way around it.
Okay.
Yeah, anyways, coming back to the accommodation, it's great to know that students have a lot of options and they can sort of choose which one best suits them or sounds good to them. And but it's also very likely that they get a spot on the on campus or when they apply for the accommodation they choose.
Yeah, so for the autumn semester, so students that start in September, they're guaranteed an offer of accommodation, which is great. So I think students need to choose 9 residences on their application form. So they do need to have quite a few options. So it's worth kind of keeping an open mind, but they can put them in order of preference. And then they'll be allocated to one of those. For students starting in January, we're not able to guarantee accommodation for incoming study abroad students. But what I would say is we don't tend to have any issues in terms of placing students in university accommodation if that's what they want. And if students aren't offered a place in a university allocated room, then we'll help them and support them to find something privately in the city. But that is pretty rare. So I'd say the majority of students tend to be offered a place if that's what they choose.
Got it. And we tend to have more students in autumn anyway, because that fits a little better with the academic calendar. So it's really good to know that they are guaranteed a space. Because I think that's a comforting feeling to just know that you don't have to worry about that when you study abroad.
Yeah, definitely. I think it takes out some of the stress of finding your own place. And that's not to say that some students don't want to live privately, because we definitely have some students that think, no, I actually want to sort it out myself and I know where I want to live in the city and I want to, you know, not be in university accommodation. But we always recommend it just because we think that it's a great way to meet other students first and foremost. You know, study abroad students aren't going to be in study abroad only accommodation. They're going to be mixed with UK and international students. So it's a great way of kind of integrating. And also, like you say, it just takes some of the worry out of it, because they know that they're going to be living somewhere that's run by the university, that they're going to have support in place as well. So all of our residences have 24-hour, 7 days a week support with our residential life team. So if you've ever got any issues when you're in your accommodation, there's someone that they can go to and reach out to get kind of immediate support, which I think is really comforting, especially when you're in a new city and a new place and you're just finding your feet. It's good to know that there's someone there who's able to support you at any time of the day.
Yeah, I think you've given us a lot of reasons for students to choose Bristol. And I think especially given the scholarship, the guaranteed accommodation, at least in fall, I think those are all things that work in favor of Bristol. And of course, the reputation of the university, and all of that. So it sounds like a really good option for students who are keen to kind of experience the real England and the real Britain. So we're getting to my favorite part of the episode. And I think Elias has the honor of doing that today. Do you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. As a closing segment on our podcast, we like to play a round of this or that questions. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I think so. So if you're up for that, let's start right away. Perfect.
Let's do it.
So let's start off with full English breakfast or a smashed avocado on toast.
Oh, okay. That's a really hard one. It depends what I've been doing the night before and what I want to do for the rest of the day. So if I've been to the pub the night before and want to just have quite a relaxed day, absolutely a full English. I'm vegetarian, so I'd have to have like veggie sausages, probably not veggie bacon, because I personally think that's gross, but I may be the only one. But you definitely have to have a hash brown, 100%, because, you know, that's just makes it. Has to be beans. I personally like my beans just on the plate. I don't really get it when people put them in those little ramekin pots. That tends to annoy me. But I'd say avocado and toast if I'm trying to be healthy and maybe want to go for a walk. I'd probably go for that. But no, I'm going to say full English because it's British and it's delicious and it gets a bad rep, but you cannot knock a full English until you've tried it. And you always have to have tomato sauce, I think. Some people have brown sauce, but I'm not a brown sauce fan. So it's tomato sauce all the way.
I also think it's better than its reputation. So I quite like
Thank you. Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear it. And you've got to have fried eggs as well.
Yeah.
Because I think that makes a full English. If you're having like a poached egg, that's too fancy.
You can put the poached egg on your avocado toast. So,
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll have everything but the baked beans. Like the baked beans is the one thing that I just can't.
Really?
That's the best part of
just
it.
Can't.
Yeah.
Probably and you get if you kind of blindfolded me, but I just can't. Even the visual of it is just not. Everything else, the bacon, the sausages, the eggs, the hash brown, the sauce, perfect. But
Alex, you're missing out.
Definitely.
The best bit as well is at the end where you've got the baked beans left over and you've got to save the toast, and then you can just have a little impromptu baked beans on toast to finish off the meal.
Well.
Okay, moving along.
I'll promise to give it a try if I come to visit you guys in Bristol. I'll try. And
that's
a compromise.
I'll hold you to that one, Alex.
Yeah, maybe it's the German version that I don't like. So
probably.
Maybe I need to the real deal. So
exactly. You need. I'm guessing you have Heinz, so it's probably the same. But maybe it tastes different when you're in England. Who knows?
Probably. And when you've been to the pub the night before.
Definitely.
All right, then let's move on to the next one. Downton Abbey or The Crown?
Oh, okay, this one's so easy. So I know that I said I'm not a royalist, but The Crown, 100%. The Crown is just great. I mean, I think, honestly, I've been watching it, and because I'm not a big royalist, I think I've learned so much about the royal family and actually just, like, British history from watching The Crown, which is probably really embarrassing, actually, that I needed a TV series to remind me of things that have happened. But yeah, definitely The Crown. I think Olivia Colman is great. She's one of my favorite actresses. So yeah, I think definitely.
Right. Now the final question. We're really curious about.
Okay, let's see.
Okay.
All right. So now we're moving on to, you mentioned Bristol is kind of like a music city, or where music plays a big role. Dua Lipa or Ed Sheeran?
I can't say neither. So,
you can have a third choice. You can have Coldplay as your third choice.
Oh gosh, no, that's even worse, Alex. I'm not a big Coldplay fan. I'm so sorry, Chris Martin. No.
Unbelievable.
It's been a big debate. I told Elias the same thing, and he couldn't understand. It's like,
oh no, Coldplay suck.
I think they're the most boring band around.
Yeah.
It's elevator music. It's just boring.
100%. I completely agree.
You.
No, it's great to find the only two people in the world, I believe, who don't like Coldplay. So it's an honor. Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna maybe Dua Lipa. I'm not a big fan of either. I'm really sorry. So, but yeah, maybe Dua Lipa. I guess she's a bit cooler.
Who do you like? Who can you recommend? Is there a Bristol band that you can recommend? Or
yeah, definitely. Oh, this is going to be maybe not for everyone, but there's an amazing band in Bristol called Idols, who are great. So they're a little bit more like punky, but they're fantastic. Like really political lyrics. They're from Bristol, and yeah, I've seen them multiple times, so they're really good. And then also another Bristol based band, Elder Island, they're really good as well, so I'd highly recommend checking them out.
Perfect. I still can't get over the fact that you guys don't like Coldplay.
Anyway, this was so much fun. I anticipated it was going to be fun, but it was even more fun than I thought. So.
Aww, yeah. I had a really good time as well, actually. It was really nice. It felt very relaxed.
Yeah. And we did learn a lot about the university, but I also think we learned a lot about British culture and about why students should consider the UK.
You're so welcome. I had a great time. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
And have a great Friday afternoon and a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Enjoy.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Was soll ich sagen? Ellie und ich waren uns einig.
Ich kann es immer noch nicht fassen, dass keiner von euch Coldplay mag.
Wir wissen halt, was gut ist. Und was nicht.
Alles klar.
Vielleicht sollten wir uns einem Thema zuwenden, das weniger kontrovers ist, nämlich den tollen Stipendien der University of Bristol.
Ja, stimmt. Die sind wirklich eine tolle Sache, die auch gerade deutsche BewerberInnen unterstützen.
Wenn ihr mehr über die Stipendien wissen wollt, dann schaut doch einfach mal in die Shownotes. Dort haben wir nämlich die Ausschreibung auf unserer Website verlinkt. Bis zum 17. Oktober könnt ihr euch übrigens noch für eines der Stipendien für das Frühjahrssemester bewerben.
Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes Links zum Hochschulprofil der University of Bristol und zu den angesprochenen Erfahrungsberichten ehemaliger Study Abroad Studierender.
Und bevor wir es vergessen, findet ihr dort auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Meldet euch gern jederzeit bei uns, wenn ihr Fragen zu den Stipendien, zum Semesterprogramm der University of Bristol oder generell zum Auslandsstudium habt.
Wir schicken euch übrigens auch gern unsere ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung zur University of Bristol mit vielen weiteren Tipps und Infos zum Bewerbungsablauf. Sowohl die Anleitung als auch unser Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice sind für euch komplett kostenlos, weil wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
Beim nächsten Mal geht es in die Stadt der Engel, denn da werden wir die California State University Northridge aus Los Angeles zu Gast haben. Bis dahin bedanken wir uns fürs Zuhören und sagen viele Grüße und habt eine gute Zeit. Ciao!